little decor little for Soto? Our studio here.
What, Soto bobblehead, Soto head?
Isn't that nice? Hoffa, you see this? Get that up on YouTube right there.
Let me see. My That's actually really big. Wow.
Not bad, right?
My That's pretty big.
And be gentle with that.
I'm not going to.
I know between
like
you, McPherson, McMonagall.
Like this is actually pretty cool.
He put it right up here. He placed one of those Evan Abe Lincoln bobbleheads. Nice. That's not bad, right?
Was this taken when he was hitting 249 or 252? Yeah. Just curious.
I think it was the start of June. Look at that. Juan Soto. Boom! We should put it right there. Now, there's no stopping you from getting an Aaron Judge one or, I don't know, Bellinger is maybe your guy more so than Judge?
I don't get those knickknacks. Like, if people somebody sent that to you or
my buddy Van got it for me. No, I didn't ask for it.
That's
my
actually
buddy Van.
Cool. I mean.
And he said specifically you could bring it and put it in the studio show BT.
Is that what he said? Yeah, yeah. So what somebody sent me a week or so ago is a Jets jersey that says BT and Sound on the back. I wouldn't even wear a jersey that just says BT on it. I look like an idiot.
BT and Sound.
Jets jersey. Oh, my God. Somebody's got to send me some better. Well, St. John's always takes care of me.
Should have got
the new Adidas stuff coming soon.
Ooh.
Well, they jumped from Nike. You know that. They're now Adidas.
Is that better for them?
Yeah. Adidas is paying them. Nike did not. And Adidas will treat St. John's more like, you know, like Nike or somebody would treat like a Carolina or something.
Make sure you invite Coach in studio, maybe come in with a box of...
I'll get some stuff for you guys. You know,
yeah, well, you took care of us last year. I'll be into the Giants this year. Before we get to that, and by the way, we got to get into the football stuff. Mm-hmm. I know I was watching from afar with you with the Justin Fields thing. Thank God all is okay there.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. Yeah, let's get on the same page with this. We all want the football teams to be at least relevant for a couple of months here. Think of how pathetic we are. I heard Jerry and Danny talking about it coming in like, oh, optimistic about the football season this year. Yeah, right, saying like maybe Jerry's like, oh, they should get us at least to the end of October. Like, think of how pathetic that is.
Trick or treat.
Come on, dude. We got to have some real teams. But I do think the Mets and Yankees are going to carry us. And with the Mets, they have been on fire here. Seven straight. Now, look, do I think that they're as good as they're playing right now? Maybe not, but I think they're in a very good spot where they know what they need to address. Mm-hmm. It's clearly bullpen. They already got the one arm in Soto. I expect there to be more. I wouldn't be stunned if the Mets made a shocking move, whether that's for Suarez from Arizona. I think Stearns and Cohen know this is the time to strike, and things are starting to get a little healthier with them at the bottom of the order. You know, Marte being back, Alvarez after being sent down, coming back up, mm-hmm. Mauricio starting to emerge a little bit.
Yeah.
Mets are in a pretty good spot right now. They got to strike it perfectly here at the trade deadline, but all things are go right now for the Red Hot Mets.
Mets look good. I'll tell you, that was a nice win. Just a good performance over the weekend in a tough venue against, you know, a decent team for sure in the Giants. That's, you never know what you get out there. It's a big ballpark, and, you know, bombs go to die. Asked Jeff McNeil last night. He would double very well. Could have been a home run. It would have been. They said on the broadcast that double that he hit at the base of the wall in right center would have been gone from every other stadium. I mean, Pete's play on Friday night to snag that bullet line drive. I mean, a little awkward, you know, but he caught it. That was a good play. And, you know, now the young kids, Beatty's been on a little bit of a tear here for a while, where he show the game slowing down. You bring up Alvarez, you know, contrast that with Volpe and how the Yankees have handled some of their situations. The Mets made a very proactive decision to send down Alvarez, and he bought in, and he came back a different player. His energy's been good. His defense has been better. His bat's been buttoned up. Nimmo's on an absolute tear. You know, good to see Lindor get off the schneid a couple of games ago. Not that he was great every game over the weekend, but he's showing some signs here. And I'll tell you, the thing that jumps out to me about these Mets, and I said it definitely when you were off, and I think I said it maybe right before last time we were together. I love their starting, like their top three arms. I really, really like the Manaea Senga or Manaea Peterson Senga trio. It's good.
Well, think about it. They've weathered the storm, and I was just looking this over here. They have the best record in the National League. They're tied with most wins, I should say.
With the Brewers, though, right?
Yeah, tied with the Brewers and the Cubs. Brewers and Cubs are both 62-43. The Mets are 62-44. But they survived that storm where it was looking like they might not. We know it's a long season. They hung in there despite, like, they didn't go get any arms, bullpen help, starting rotation, whatever. The bats, they survived the storm. And now, again, looking like they did before they went into that little bit of a rut,
mm-hmm.
like one of the better teams in not only the National League, but all of Major League Baseball, and as healthy as they've been all year, with Manaea, to your point, with Senga back in the rotation together, even with Montas being in there, with Peterson, like they've lengthened out the rotation. I know Holmes right now a little shaky, but they're going to add bullpen arms. I don't know if they're going to add a starter or not. Getting healthier in the lineup as well. They're in the Mets are in a very good spot. In first place by a game and a half over the Phillies. They're in a good spot.
They're in a good spot. And I like the Soto pickup. Not the main Soto pickup.
Right.
Yeah, I like the Greg Soto.
The other Soto, yeah.
The other Soto. He throws absolute gas, yeah. And he's got a presence out there. And obviously, you know, real baseball fan. You know Baltimore. You remember him with Philly. But he is a guy that is going to be deployed in some pretty tough, high-leverage spots against some good lefties over the next, you know, could be a couple of months here if the Mets get on a nice run. And I like it. And then when you get to October, you know, when you go to a three-man rotate rather than four, you do have the option. If you don't make another trade or two for bullpen arms, you could always throw Holmes in the bullpen. Like they've got some maneuverability. And if they like for the Mets, I would get Suarez. I didn't think the Yankees it was a great fit because the Mets catch the ball better. Yankees have been so sloppy. I think if the Mets ever pull the trigger on Suarez, it's all systems go. You guys have a chance to win the World Series.
You know, I feel the same way that it was not a great fit for the Yankees because they didn't need that power. Where the Mets could use more power. I don't think they need it.
No, I agree. They don't need it.
Okay, so where are you at with the bottom of the order now, where you and I have had this back and forth where I was always like, the bottom of the order is okay. Now, you're living with McNeil in center. Again, we don't know who's going to be available. Will Grisham, whatever. But they're living with McNeil in center for the most part. You've got Mauricio at third base, a little bit of Beatty at second base. Mm-hmm. You've got Marte back. You got Vientos thrown in there, that mix. Do you think that Alvarez now coming back, which is a huge, huge part of this.
No doubt.
Do you think that they can survive with the lineup as is?
Yes, I think they can survive. I don't think they're a word. I still wouldn't stamp them. Again, there's randomness. I wouldn't stamp them like I wouldn't feel great about their October World Series. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
If they don't get another bat. Like, it's the time to do it, Sal. Like, from a defensive perspective, Nimmo's been hitting the hell out of it. Nimmo and left, and McNeil in center. That's going to hurt you in October.
Yeah.
You could just see a ball getting through, somebody tagging up. That's not how you win with those two guys. Even though, and McNeil's been serviceable, there's no doubt. But
He's not a center fielder.
Like, exactly. Yeah. I don't love that. And, you know, we could talk about the Alvarez's and the Mauricio had four knocks and four bullets. That home run that he hit, that was a pitch that he's not handled all year. That soft stuff at the ankle. So he's showing progress, and obviously Beatty's been very good. But the reason why I think the Mets should get that big bat is because there's so much unknown next year. You don't know who's playing first base. You know, Pete could opt out and bounce. You don't know who's playing center. You don't know who. Like, I just, to me, go for it now.
A lot of things are going right for them. Now, it's August. There's, what, 50-something games to go?
Yeah.
You need, the way the Mets are right now, you want to have this September, like the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long season. We've seen this. They were like this before, and then they went into that rut. They're like this now. Could there be another rut here at the wrong time? That's what you want to avoid. But everything is lining up very nicely. The Braves are dead and buried. They're long gone. It's a two-team race. Mets and Phillies here. A few days to go before the trade deadline. We know what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to acquire bullpen arms, maybe another arm in the rotation, and maybe another bat, but we know they're going to be aggressive here. And then it's just sit back and say, all right, go to work.
This is who we are.
This is it. Like, they're putting, right now, the next few days, and I'm sure literally right now, they're trying to figure out who they're going to bring in to put the final pieces together for a team that they could sit back and say, now go out there and do it, boys.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. No more, like, gaping holes or glaring needs. You have to hope that, you know, it's pray to the sports gods, you're going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Guys stay healthy here, and then just have the players go out there and produce. That's it. They go into the clubhouse. They've done all that they could do. Once Thursday comes and goes, and I think they're only a couple of moves away from really fine-tuning this thing. It's just about going out there and delivering.
I think both teams have another big swing coming. I do. I think both the Mets and the Yanks will be aggressive in the next couple of days. From a Yankee perspective, could unload a player or two, as I discussed. See, the only risk that, and there's no guarantee, that's why I would preemptively address it now. And, you know, the things that look favorable that were a little questionable earlier, the Beatty's, Alvarez, Mauricio, even though Mauricio has a lot of talent, he was swinging and missing, and the changeup and the curves, he was a mess.
Raw.
That's a perfect word. I didn't, you know, Marte's injury prone. He's in a little bit of a hot streak now, but he's always gimpy. I have to have another legit reinforcement in case. Now, all of those things are not going to fall back to their whatever their mean was. But if one or two things do, I need to know that I've got another bullet to fire if I'm trying. It's the World Series. And it's not just like, well, the Mets have to win it this year or they can't win it next year. You would think with the money, with their core, with whatever, some young pitching prospects, like the Mets' runway to be good is certainly open for a couple of years. I'm pouncing.
BT and Sal on the Fan. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Isaac is calling from Long Branch. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, BT and Sal, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Yep. I think the Mets are two moves away from legitimately being the best team in baseball. I think we need to make a move with Miami, get one of the guys, either Alcantara or that other guy, Rodriguez, and move Clay Holmes to the bullpen. Then we have the best bullpen in baseball, and I don't think we need such a hitter with Mauricio and Alvarez looking like he's coming back now. I think we go get Bader from Minnesota, who could feel just as good as Tyrone and definitely could hit better. And I think those are moves that we need to make.
You want Bader back?
Thank you for the call, Isaac.
Yeah, I hear you. That's my emotion, too.
I think I'd rather have him than Mullins. Neither of those guys, to me, are enough of an upgrade. Certainly not offensively. Like, yes, you're right. The idea of having Bader in center field, but we went down this road last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is most appealing to me about Bader? What he did with the Yankees in the postseason.
Guy hit a couple bombs, for
right.
sure.
So, yeah. Because this is about the postseason. To your point, this is about the World Series. This is about finishing touches on what can be and what should be a World Series caliber ball club. I hesitate to overreact to Mauricio's play as of late or even Alvarez. Now, I believe that Mauricio is legit, but he's still very raw and young.
Mm-hmm.
So if he goes into a little bit of a funk in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be, oh, can't live with Mauricio. You've got to eliminate the question marks here. Alvarez, there is no better option, and I believe he's going to be this, which should be impactful and should help, but doesn't mean you wouldn't look to upgrade if there were the right bat out there, whether it be Suarez, whether it be somebody else, or whether it be center field. Bader does not...
It doesn't do it for me.
Unless it were in addition, like let's say they got Suarez, they shocked the world and got Suarez,
uh-huh.
Then I could live with Bader instead.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's true. That's a little different. I mean, the one thing that you don't want to happen, like even if Alvarez regresses, and it doesn't look like he will, he's got great energy right now.
Yeah.
I'm happy
he's
for
him. Back, thankfully.
Like, he owned looks, it, man.
Yeah.
You got to respect it.
But that's how you do it, BT.
I agree.
Organization did the right thing.
Yep.
He had the right attitude when he was down there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get caught up in the years of control or anything else.
Yep.
Went down there, said, I got to find myself again. Raked, produced defensively, and now he's back up looking like himself.
And they did that because they knew the character and the work ethic of him. And they trusted that. And they trusted their minor league people. So that was very good. But even if he was to take a massive step back, which I don't expect, at least you have a very capable backup in Torrens. If Beatty goes sideways or Mauricio goes sideways, what are you doing at third base in the playoffs? What are you doing in center? I still can't run the risk of two quiet spots.
Of the three, if they get Bader in center, you're saying it's still not enough to you?
If it was Bader in center and the Mauricio Beatty combo with a third.
Or Vientos. Like they have,
or, what am I saying? I forgot. And Vientos.
That's what I'm saying. Like between Vientos, those three, I don't love him defensively.
No, no.
But between the three, you'd hope like one could stick at least for a little bit. I would probably bet on Mauricio because I trust his defense more than the other.
I bet on Beatty.
Yeah.
Right now. I don't know.
I was thinking about this just watching Beatty. Even though his numbers aren't great, we know he's shown signs. I would not give up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it were the perfect trade, like let's say you had to give him to get Suarez, I'd do that because I'm getting a third baseman now that I feel like can...
A rental? 34-year-old rental?
I know, but he might be able to win a World Series.
That's true. Yeah.
But the potential, like Beatty, I get the feeling Beatty's going to go somewhere else and be a solid big league pro for 10
years. I agree with you. The game's slowing down for him, there's no doubt, and it's starting to slow down for Mauricio as well. Like, the thing that, I think what Stearns has to ask himself, and obviously I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know, like, is... And I want you to answer this. Do you envision a Mets roster in 2 years with Mauricio, with Beatty, with Vientos, Alvarez, I'm going to put there because he's a catcher, Acuna? Like, there's just a
McNeil,
lot of
guys. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, I don't even count McNeil. His contract's
He'll
up.
Gone,
he's getting
okay.
older. I'm talking about the young guys who we're still learning about. That's five spots where it's still a little fluid. In, what I mean?
Like, not to mention Jet Williams or the other guys that they have coming up.
Gilbert, like, correct.
They have. And they were talking about it last night during the broadcast where I think Buster only said the Astros have already inquired about the Mets, abundance of infielders. This is going to be tricky, but this is how David Stearns makes his money. They have to, him and his staff, have to evaluate the right one to move
mm-hmm.
and the right one to keep, or the right ones to move, the right one to keep. But you can't keep them all. So to your point, no, I don't. They're going to have to make a decision.
Yes.
I think you wait and wait and wait until you have as much info and intel possible before you have to make that decision.
Meaning until Thursday or the offseason?
No, I'm talking about just in even predating years. Here.
Oh,
now, remember, Stern's only here for 1 year,
yeah.
But we've seen Beatty for a little while.
Yeah.
They need to do... I think Mauricio is the most raw, but in the short time that we've seen him, that's the one that I would be reluctant to give up on.
Mm-hmm.
I trust him more so right now, but they need to make the right decision, whether it's moving on from Beatty, Vientos, both Beatty and Vientos. They got to clean it up a little bit.
Yep.
Now, again, you're not just giving those guys away, but I would at least want to see one of them probably move for a piece that could better fit you this year.
I'd be stunned if all those names we just hit are still here by Thursday at, what is it, 6 p.m., I think, Thursday? So I just think there's going to be some movement. Both teams. I mean, both teams are digging in. You know, different circumstances, different pressure, different positions of need, although bullpen a little bit for both teams, more so for the Yankees because you already got Soto. It's going to be busy.
Raul from Manhattan wants to talk about the Yanks. What's up, Raul?
Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. You guys are a godsend, man. I could talk to the Yankees or Mets, so whatever. If you want to talk about Mets, I could talk about the Mets, too.
Well, what's most important to you?
Talk about what you want to talk about, yeah.
Well, they're both important to me, and I could talk to you guys for a while. I may have a lot on my mind, but I'll be brief with, okay, one thing that's been bothering me, I've been watching Stanton for the Yankees for years. He's given me much joy in his at-bats and everything, but he is like a heavy anchor weighing down the Yankees right now. He's not versatile. They could unload him for some athletes and then unload Goldschmidt too and bring up Jones and then reutilize what they have. Rosario is a good pickup. He's a good substitute for Cabrera.
Mm.
He's okay, but I don't think they should play him in the outfield. Keep Grissom. He's a good fourth outfielder to have. Defensively, he's a monster, and he has come up with good hits and everything. Don't give up on him so easily, and you got to keep the guy that right now that's hot. What's his name for the former Cub? You got to keep him.
Bellinger, you're talking about?
Yeah, Bellinger, Belly. Yeah, you got to keep him, man. Don't give him away because he's versatile. He could play first. He's athletic.
Yeah, no, we get it, Raul.
Yeah. That's what they're faced with. I mean, the thing about the way you frame it, Raul, and thanks for the call, like, he said something like, the Yankees shouldn't give up on Grisham. It's not about finding out, does he fit or can he handle New York or is he good? You know, he's been around for a while, and he's making peanuts, which makes him very attractive. Grisham is owed about, if you just prorate the numbers, he's due about like 1.8, a little less the rest of the year. And to me, I don't think the Yankees will re-sign him next year. So why would you keep him?
Only to maximize your, abilities this year. You have him be your primary center field, whatever. Especially with Judge going down and maybe Judge having to be a DH. If you're trying to win now, that's the only reason why you keep him. If you don't think that you can win now and you're saying, we could, whatever our return would be for him is worth it to help us years down the road,
mm-hmm.
get a young player under control or a couple of prospects, whatever, pitching prospects.
Yeah, I can see that. I certainly get that. That's definitely one avenue to look at it. But what I'm saying is, like, I think when you have, at least on paper and on film, and analytically supported, early, like in the minors, like, there's at least a couple of options where if you trade Grisham, I know Spencer Jones has had the back issues, a spasm. He's fine. And Stanton's got a no trade. Raul hit a bunch of different things there. I just think that there's enough internal options to at least find out and straddle that line, and Cashman would have to be perfect, something he has not been in a long time. But yeah, that's kind of where we are at this point. And if the Yankees do nothing, then in terms of the deadline here, then the Yankees aren't doing anything in terms of big picture this season. Not going to happen.
You, 2 weeks ago, went on vacation. Like,
yes.
You went away.
A little beach action.
Yeah, and when you go away, there's really, like, no choice but to immerse yourself in being away and lost and all that stuff.
Although, to be fair, I was kind of pulled into that Little League controversy, so I wasn't really away.
That's a good point.
But
I purposely, we really have not talked about this.
No, you reached out to me, but
Well, I purposely did not bring it up at all. Mm. No caller brought it up on this show. I heard the morning show talk about, oh my God, I'm not touching this until I talk to BT or until he comes back. And then I didn't even want to bother you because I know you're on vacation. I'm like, God, this has got to be probably bothering him, but I don't want to jump in. So once I saw you then reach the social media about something,
mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, let me text and make sure it's all right. So that's our only talk about it. Were you at least able to relax with all this crap going on?
I mean, you know, you don't love getting alerts and, you know, people sending you stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, I'd prefer not to have been in the news cycle for getting the thumb, you know. But no, I was able to, I was still able to enjoy it. But it was an unexpected curveball. Whereas with you, it almost sounds like you'd rather be in jail with the list of dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, what were you doing?
It's not that I'd rather be in jail because it was nice, but it was not... I think in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, staycation, all right, we'll just be home and just do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're home, there's always going to be something to do at home, whether it's take care of the dog, take care of your daughter, your kids, whatever it may be, your wife, your mother, like, there's always going to be something. I was telling you, the first thing I did was Saturday morning. You know, I had a long week of shows when you weren't here because it was just different. It was, we had the Joe Torre thing, the David Wright week. It was guest after guest after guest.
All-star getting out of a lot of no games to react
to. Yeah, exactly right.
Except, of course, the all-star game, which you didn't watch.
Yeah.
Did you really stand by the protest?
Yeah, no Soto, no Sal, of course. But I did know enough to talk about it. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just a different week of shows. And again, it's talking sports, like it's not a big deal, but you know how it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. So a little different energy. I got you.
By the end of it, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Like, so much so that when I saw David Wright in person Friday at SNY, because after I was done here, I went there to tape the show with Wright, Reyes, and Collins.
I saw that. I saw some of it on
SNY. So I get there, and I'm like, dude, I got to be honest with you. I'm David Wrighted out right now. I did. And he laughed, and he's like, me too. But then I went Saturday to the game, or at least to the festivities. I drove to pick up my mother on Long Island, drove back, sat in that god-awful traffic. I don't know what was going on. Hey, news to the Mets. If you're going to have a game and a ceremony, tell everybody to get there early. Open the damn gates. I don't know what was going on. I've been to a million games, World Series, playoffs, opening days, ceremonies, you name it. I've never experienced anything like that.
Did they mess up? I mean, was it was an accident, or did they actually just mess up with when people could get in?
Dude, the Grand Central Parkway entrance was backed up to get off the LIE when you go in. They're like, I've never seen anything like it. And I was like, all right, let's go around. Let's go to the other entrance. I'm trying to go around. Just backed up. It was like the gates were shut. Now, I don't know if they actually were or not, but it was like nobody was moving. And it took me an hour to get from my mom's house on Long Island to the stadium. It took me another hour to get from the stadium into the actual parking lot.
That's brutal.
And then I washed it down with, I left after the ceremonies, which, by the way, were great. Did you watch that?
I watched the whole thing. I loved it.
I talked
about this a lot. Yeah.
Did you see The Right Way?
Loved it.
Okay.
Absolutely. I talked about it. That's why I did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, I loved the stuff when he was a kid coming up in Virginia.
You'd eat that up. I knew you'd eat that up.
That Little League footage was phenomenal.
And then, not to belabor the point here, but so I went to the ceremony. It was great.
Yep.
Emotional, whatever.
His speech was phenomenal. It really was.
Can't do any better than that.
No, I agree.
And then I left before the game because I had plans to go to the soccer game.
Messi's, I mean, you're out of your mind, dude.
I know, but this is what it is. It's not only a staycation, it's a sacrifice. I wasn't home to sit back and put my feet up and enjoy myself in the pool or going to the beach. I was home to do everything for everybody else. But my wife's family wanted to go to the game, the Messi game, so I'm like, all right, I'll suck it up and do it. And guess what? I get home, drop my mom off, she's with Sammy, me and my wife, we go, and she's running late, naturally. I'm like, I told you, gave you the heads up, like, let's go.
They're never on time.
Let's go!
Is that how you yell at her?
Yeah, you know,
is that how you bark at her?
I'm saying this now, no.
Let's go!
Come on.
You're not used to it by now? Come on, they take forever.
But do you know why I had urgency? Mm. Of course you know why. Because Messi's going to be there, and it's going to be major traffic.
Yeah.
Now, I just got out of the Citi Field stuff, picking my wife up to go meet her family at this game, and it was a nightmare. Sammy with the Red Bulls, who helps us out or whatever, and I paid for the ticket.
Sammy Steinlein?
Yeah, Sammy Steinlein. I'm texting him because I was so mad. I'm like, dude, this is a nightmare.
Was he going to be a chopper and fly into the stadium?
No,
what's Sammy going to do?
No, but I wanted to let somebody know that I'm pissed off.
sometimes when you vent, it does nothing, but it feels good.
I was like, yeah, exactly. That's what it was. Like, I know, man. I'm sorry. That's why I had to leave early. I'm like, yeah, what do you want me to do? I was at the David Wright thing. My wife was running late.
Yeah.
We saw it. Messi scored two goals. It was actually incredible.
Did he score twice?
He scored twice.
Nice.
Yeah. Right in front of it was a huge thing.
Oh, I know.
The kids, like my wife's family, they loved it. So it was really a nice night out. But then we had to sit in the parking lot another hour and a half before that clip. Dude, and that was day one. That was day one. Legoland, a little Chuck E. Cheese in there.
Chuck E. Cheese is a staple when they're that age. Come on.
But anyway, that's...
So, and then, well, you're leaving out a part that might be the kicker, even though you had a good time. Sally's wife said, I'm out of here for a couple of days. It was just you and your daughter, Sammy, a couple of nights. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility for a dad with a four-year-old daughter.
That doesn't happen.
Is that the first time that you were left overnight, multiple nights, you and your daughter?
Yes.
Okay, that's a big step, man.
I've done one night before.
Yeah.
I've never done two.
Well, it's about time. I mean, you hightail it everywhere you go. Saratoga, you go here. It's about time.
Oh, no. Well, Daddy's taking a vacation. I already told my wife, and a little, you know, nasty, too. I was like, look, your vacation. I'm not coming back. I'm going to Saratoga. I'm staying two nights.
Is that what you told her?
Well, I did. I don't know if I'm going to, but I'm definitely going at least one night.
You got some equity. You earned it, so you got to earn a couple stripes.
It's not work, but it's a lot. My point is it's not vacation. So my wife, who by the way, deserves a break as well.
No question.
So when she says, like, I like it. Go ahead. Go enjoy yourself. But then I don't want to hear anything. Like, go enjoy yourself with your friend, which she did in Philadelphia for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then I'm home with Sammy. Now it's Daddy and Sammy, but, like, it's, you know, it's a lot there.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you, though, Daddy and Sammy at age 4 going on 5 is different than Daddy at home with Sammy when Sammy is 9 or 10 and the iPad's always ringing and friends are calling and the...
That's annoying, I guess.
When you go to bed, obviously, you know, Sammy's very, like you've told, like, been bed like 7, like very regimented,
right? That was the best part of my night.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So...
Gilmore time or...
We got to talk about that Superman later. We saw both of them. But when you're that age and she's used to going to bed that early, you know, she's obviously not getting, like, breastfed. She's not a baby. No. The bottle's gone, you know. So you don't have to wake up in the middle. So you don't have to do that. She's in bed. You can have a couple surfsides. You can watch a movie. Yeah. You can get immersed with the YouTube Hulk Hogan stuff. All the things that I'm sure you did. Whereas, like, when she's 8 or 9 or 10 and mommy's out of town for 2 nights, it's a little different. You have to do more. Trust
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think less.
You got to do more.
They're more self-sufficient as they get older.
I can promise you my kids do not go to bed at 7 o'clock at night on a Friday night during the summer.
So it's less alone time. Like, I couldn't wait. I love spending the time with my daughter. Don't get me wrong. It was great.
Yeah. But when they go to sleep, it's fantastic.
She's at...
I remember that age. That was a little Scotch pour. That was a little daddy.
Wife's not home.
And nobody's home. Stay away.
That's almost a trade-off. Yeah, go. You got... Like, at least the wife's not there. But what reality show do you want to watch or what movie?
You watch whatever you
want. That's exactly right.
Order whatever food you want.
Hogan, Happy Gilmore, pizza, chips, whatever I want. Just make sure Sammy's in bed by 8 o'clock. 8-8-8-8-8. But... I will learn my lesson at some point. Yeah. It's not that I can afford to go away on all these vacations anyway. I keep saying, like, staycation, I'm going to enjoy it. And it's never truly...
Yeah, you said that last time, too.
Yes, I did.
You did say that, yeah.
And I thought this time was going to be different. Hang out by the pool, grill. I didn't grill once. I did hang out by the pool, but, yeah, I know.
It's not easy, man. Life's not easy, pal.
BT, it's out. And this is my, like, I'm happy to be back to work. This is my comfort zone.
I'm the same way, too. Like, after a while, I'm like, I got to get back on the air. Like, do you feel... unnaturally out of whack.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, me
neither.
I don't like
sitting out.
What did I text you? I'm like, I'm ready to get back.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that
right.
When you texted me when I was...
Well, I was checking in with you. Yeah,
but you didn't say, you didn't actually... I didn't know if you knew. I figured you did, but you didn't specifically say what happened with the Little League.
Well,
you
we
just said
texted a link
good.
To the article. <off on. laughs>
That's true. Of course, they use the unkillable picture. Good God.
I was... Because we've talked about this. Mm. You and I have had these conversations dating back to the Carl Banks stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was like, man, I don't like this. Or even some of the Alonzo stuff where that blew up years ago.
When you get pulled into something.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
I hate it.
That's not fun.
Especially something like that, which I know to you means the world coaching your son and all that. Like, I was
and the
like,
other kids, not just him. And by the way, the call wasn't even about him.
Yeah,
it wasn't like I was some lunatic because my son got screwed. He wasn't even involved in the play.
So what happened? You let her have it, the ref? The ump?
No. It wasn't. It wasn't a she. She was behind the plate. It was a gentleman who gave me the thumb here, and I wish it didn't happen. I don't think he was totally right. I don't think I was totally
right. First time you've been tossed?
First time.
You know, Booney's rubbing off on you. I was going to say, we got to get him on the phone here. Our guy Booney's got to calm it down. You get BT tossed from these 10-on-10 U games, Booney. Come on. And by the way, the Yankees may have a vacancy soon. Maybe you go over there and help out.
That's what happens when you know hitting the clutch. The kids were annoying me that night.
I know it's bad because usually I get the text from you with the scoreboard like 21 nothing.
It was a tough loss. Tough loss, man. I'm going to show you the video. Next break.
I heard you talking about it.
I'm not going to show it online.
I saw the clip.
I'm going to show
it. Would it not exonerate you?
It would, but I don't want to keep it going. But yet here I am talking about it. I moved on, you know,
okay.
But I'm going to show you so that if it ever comes up again, you can give an honest depiction of whether or not I deserve to get the boot.
I told you my favorite part of the whole thing, and I happened to hear the caller live.
Oh, you did?
I was driving to the Joe Torre safe at home thing, and I was like, oh my my God, he called Boomer and GM, was going over the whole thing.
Yeah, so a bunch of people sent it to me. I didn't hear it. I was in Florida.
But my favorite part was when he goes, his son's a hell of a ball player.
That was nice. Yeah,
I felt good for Cole with that one.
How about Daddy? Daddy's the one wearing it.
Yeah, I know, but you can handle it. All right. Training camp in full force here, Jets and Giants. I agree with something J.J. Watt said. I don't know if you saw this over the course of the weekend, where he's like, dude, enough with these stats being a big deal from training camp stuff.
Like 7-on-7s and completion percentage. It's such a waste of time.
But this has been going on for years, I guess since the age of social media, where, all right, reporters are out there and they're breaking it all down. It's just not for me. And maybe it is for some. I'm not a stats guy, period. But you think I give a crap about what's going on in training camp as far as numbers go? I mean, my God, it's gotten to a point where it's so overcovered and overhyped. Wake me up when the games start. And by the way, even then, it's like week one, whatever, two, whatever, three, whatever. Like by week four, you start to, okay, now it starts to count. But I'm excited for football season, don't get me wrong, but the overdoing it in every second, scrutinizing every play of training camp, just to me is too much.
Well, especially training camp in 2025, where they're putting the pads on today, but where you can't even hit anymore. Like, you know, when Tiki was coming up, and obviously when Boomer was coming up, they were knocking the crap out of each other. So maybe a little bit more transferable, like you get a better idea of what you had. I mean, I can't tell you how many tweets, and I used to get excited about it. Why wouldn't you? Oh, Zach Wilson, 5-for-5 in the red zone drill today. Looked phenomenal. Back shoulder throw to whomever. I gave up on that nonsense you a long time ago. What interests me from a Giant perspective is Dart. And I know that Dart threw a pick his first. That's why maybe you know, people reacted to that. But like Dart and the pass rush and the Giant issues, what interests me with the Jets is how Glenn commands the room and the early stages of getting this team into a disciplined, tough unit, the exact opposite of what Saleh had.
Yeah, which I love everything about that, but ultimately it's going to be about the results. Like, I've heard this before from other guys. I love it. Sign me up for everything that Aaron Glenn is about and everything that Aaron Glenn is saying. But we actually have to see it. Like, I've heard many coaches before say, we have to clean this up. We can't be undisciplined. We can't get penalties. I've heard it a million freaking times. And yet when we watch the games, what happens? Penalties left and right. So I want to see Glenn and his team execute what he knows takes to win football games. I believe in him. I believe in what he's saying. I believe what he's saying is true. I don't believe that the players are going to follow through and execute to the level that he expected to, especially soon, you know, right out of the gate. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that that's the case, and they're going to need that to be the case to have a successful season. But it's year one, blank canvas, you know, ground zero here with the Jets trying to build this new regime, new culture. I'm excited for it. I just need to see it to believe it.
Understood. I mean, I'll tell you, the one thing that I do enjoy with the training camp and, you know, like Schrager would be out there and Kay Adams, like when they were with the NFL Network, I'm forgetting who Kyle Brandt.
Kyle Brandt,
that's what I was really looking for because he's still there. So like when you get a on-site report from people who don't have any allegiance to New York or the Jets that tell us, and I saw this over the weekend, that it's much more aggressive, that there's some yelling and that, you know, it's stark contrast to what it was with Robert Saleh. That tells me there's an intensity, there's an urgency, which is appealing to me. And I got to read you this one quote. This is from Elijah Vera Tucker. And he says, quote, I can see this thing. What a diss. Now, I don't know if he really meant to do this, but it's what happened. I can see this thing turning around for sure, especially with Glenn, the type of coach he is. He praises physicality, but even more like accountability. And I think that that's very important for a head coach to do. That's something I haven't seen much of in my career.
Right. Okay, so that's damning against Robert Saleh.
Yep.
We all knew that about Robert Saleh. Like, I think Jet fans were hoping against hope, especially early on, you know, when they first hired Saleh. Oh, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Badass. And here he goes. He's tough. No nonsense. And Glenn is saying all the right things, and it seems by all accounts he's running a tight ship.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see the results now. We have to see them execute. And yeah, back to your point about Dart interception, like, who cares? Same thing about Aaron Rodgers. Oh, first pass Rodgers threw as a steal was intercepted. Oh, okay. It's training camp. Like, it doesn't mean anything. I am fascinated to see how the Giants are going to play this thing with the quarterback, though. I know they're going to let Russell Wilson start.
Yeah.
But
what's your best guess? Give it to me, because I hit this when you were out.
Well, are they trying? See, the Giants got to pick a direction to me. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Are they trying to develop Jackson Dart, or are they trying to win games? I think they're trying to win games.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that doesn't happen, then maybe they'll say, okay, well, we're ready to go with Jackson Dart here. So I think it's going to be Russell Wilson's show. And I just don't know at what point are they going to say, okay, enough is enough with Russell Wilson. let's go to Dart. If Russell Wilson gets banged up early on, it's going to be Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be Jackson Dart. I wouldn't think you're going to see him for at least 10 weeks, 11 weeks. And then once the season is officially out of hand, which it will be, it may be sooner than later, then we'll start the, hey, here's Jackson Dart. But even if they start out,
three and four, like it kind of hanging around.
No, I mean 3-4, that would be nice.
Good, three and four for the schedule.
Let's say they start out 2-7.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think you're going to see Dart until the very end.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I do agree. And I think it's an interesting road to try to navigate for them. We talked about this a little bit with the Yankees, but like winning versus development. And it's obviously much more pronounced for the Giants because they just haven't won in a while. So they've got to thread that more delicately than the Yankees, who were in the World Series a year ago. I think Russell Wilson's going to be good. You know, not incredible, not horrendous, functional, a pro. I think he'll inspire a little bit, throw a couple shots downfield. I think to me, and I do think he'll play most of the season. I think the key is if it's really about development and also winning, why are you going to have Jameis Winston taking snaps away during practice from Dart?
Right.
To me, that's the angle that they've got to rectify and resolve. I said while you were out, I think before it's all said and done, I think Winston is eventually cut and they give him the respect.
At what point?
I don't know yet. I want to see.
Like before the season, you're saying? Or no?
Yeah. If Dart shows enough to be the backup, if he does. And again, I don't know that he has done that yet so far, but if he looks the part like, okay, he's physically ready, not to play, but just to be the backup. You know, because that's 15, 18, 20% of the snaps that now you got to split between Winston and Dart. How is that getting Dart ready to play football?
It's not, which would make me think that he's a project that they're going to have in their back pocket, not at the forefront. I know he's going to be talked about quite a bit. I think the Giants' plan is clear. They are trying to win now with a defense that they believe is going to be great, with an offense that they think is going to be significantly better than what we've seen with Daniel Jones or whoever the last several years. Russell Wilson, and then if Russell Wilson, for whatever reason, doesn't have it or gets hurt, insert Jameis Winston, who's going to be able to move the football and score some points with this great defense. Dart is there less about now and more about the future. The problem is, I don't believe the Giants are going to win many games.
No.
And when that happens, you know what's going to happen. It's already about Jackson Dart, let alone if they have a bad start. It's already all about Jackson Dart, Jackson Dart, Jackson Dart. So what happens when the Giants start slowly? The fans are going to be calling and clamoring on social media, wherever it may be that they have their voice heard, for Jackson Dart. And then there's going to be pressure to play Jackson Dart. Now, the Giants have to stay disciplined and not cave to that and stick to whatever their plan is.
Yep.
But that's easier said than done, especially if you're having a rough season. If they start 2-6, 2-7, I mean, they'd be lucky to keep their jobs, number one. But number two, it's going to be about, hey, you might as well get Jackson Dart in there and at least give the fans something to watch.
But they can't cave to that because then, now their issue, even though they've got 2022 and a road playoff win, and I know Giant fans enjoy that, but the Giant fan, pardon me, the duo, I should say, more of Shane and Dable, they've got no equity within the fan base, or very little right now within the fan base. So if and when this thing gets off the rails, I think they'll be a little bit more competitive than you do, but we'll see. The temptation to placate fans who are going to be coming with pitchforks,
yeah, I know,
is going to be very hard to do. And when you talk about self-preservation, job security, that's where it could get really messy, though. But that's why you and I also talked about, was there some sort of an assurance from ownership? Hey, I'd have to think that there was some conversation that at least let Dable and Shane know it's about a little bit bigger picture than maybe our fans think, so don't do anything stupid or rush it. But you don't know if that assurance was given. We're just guessing.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Anthony in Harlem talking about the Jets. What's up, Ant?
Afternoon, boys. Good to hear you back together again.
Yeah, it's fun. Been 2 weeks, which is crazy. Go ahead, Ant.
Yeah, so BT, I know you're like me. You're a diehard Jet fan. And two of the things in the last 2 years that have been absolutely mad about this team is they just got so many penalties, and there was never any accountability.
Uh-huh.
And last year, they were an atrocious tackling.
Yep.
Terrible. And what makes me happy, it makes me think that maybe Aaron Glenn is going to turn this around. It's the first 2 weeks of training camp. He's got refs there.
I know.
Officiating practice.
That.
And
today,
Rosenblatt tweeted, the first day the pads were on, you know what they did? Full tackling drills to the ground. That it was the most physical practice he's seen in years.
Let's go.
That makes me excited.
Love it. I love it. Well, I mean, listen, and I saw that over the weekend as well. Thanks for the call, where apparently the officiating was taken out of the Jets' budget last year.
Come on.
Good God, Woody. Now, he did pump in $25 million for the locker room, But that was a reaction to the D plus that the Jets organization got. I mean, how much are these guys making? I mean, the franchise is worth $1 billion basically. You nickel and dime refs during July in Florham Park for a team that has no sense of how to play. So they're gonna hit each other. They're going to tackle, and when they do something sloppy, either because they're tired or because they're not buttoned up fundamentally, here comes a flag, and that's how you get better. I love it.
Like I said, I don't think I would ask for anything better. If you're a Jet fan right now, this is exactly what you want.
Yep.
Work in the weeds.
No drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
right.
Let's go. I'm here
Have
for it.
Have a head coach, no-nonsense guy, disciplined, hard-ass, bringing the refs. It sounds great. It's all perfect. They just have to go out there and execute. And, man, do I hope they do. Because if they do, that'll be a fun team to watch and a team to get behind, regardless of the results or the sex appeal of whatever type of offense they have. Just a team that plays the game hard and the right way is something we could get behind. All right.